And so I got to meet some of our customers that had had light for the first time. And it was truly one of the most remarkable days of my life. I remember going into a home and meeting with Father. And in the middle of talking to him, he came and hugged me. He was crying because he said, I don't have to worry about my children breathing in kerosene fumes anymore. And that sentiment was, I felt it from so many customers. There were other ones talking about how their kids could now do their reading at night and how much easier their lives were. And I remember after this long day going back to the hotel and calling my wife in Canada, 8 hours behind us, and I was crying. And I said, I can't believe that this is what I get to do for a living.
Welcome to Mindful Businesses, presented by Sarani, and I'm your host, Vidya Iyer. In our podcast, we bring to you brands which are mindful in their practices and processes. A mindful business adopts and employs sustainable social, economic, and environmental practices. Today, we have with us Brett Bergman, Chief Operating Officer of Solar Panda, transforming lives with low-cost home solar. He joins us from Toronto, Canada. Welcome, Brett.
Thanks very much. It's great to be here with you.
We in North America, we take it for granted that when we flip on the light switch, we'll have light. What percent of the continent of Africa is still to be electrified?
It's about half. I mean, in Africa, there's about 600 million people that don't have access to the electrical grid. So it's crazy that all the things that we take for granted, turning on the lights, being able to do Zoom calls like we're doing, everything that we take as just a given every day for them is a possibility for almost half of Africa at the moment.
Africa is a big continent, right? So specifically the areas that you serve, what percent is electrified?
So we operate currently, we're just in Kenya, and it's one of the most developed countries in terms of electrical. So it's come a long way in the last several years. Population's say around 50 million, and it's probably closer to 75% of that country does have electricity, which still leaves a quarter of the country without access to electricity. And even those that do have it, it's not always reliable. The electrical grid in many areas is not reliable. So I think that number is probably a little bit optimistic, but it still leaves many, many millions without access to electricity. And no, likely the electrical grid will never reach those people, especially in the rural areas, anytime soon.
If we compare it to North America, 99% of us have stable supply of electricity.
Yeah, it's Kenya is, again, is one of the most developed. It's if you look at the numbers across a lot of other African countries, it's much, much worse. You'd have 10 to 25% of the people that do have access to an electrical solution. One of those could be the electrical grid, but off-grid solar is quickly becoming a viable solution for that problem.
It's hard to generalize a whole continent like Africa, but why is there so much disparity?
I think you're right. I mean, it's hard to paint all of Africa with one brush. So every country is going to have its own challenges. A lot of it is just the lack of financial resources to put in a grid. The last study I saw said that to electrify the rest of Kenya would cost $50 billion. And the government just doesn't have the resources to do that, nor the inclination. You've got a large population. A lot of it's rural. So if you look across North America, it took us decades to put down the infrastructure to be able to reach all the far-reaching areas. And in Africa, they don't have the resources to do that. They're behind on it. It also doesn't make sense now to go back to the historical way of laying cables and lines across the world. Africa's jumping ahead of North America and Europe and a lot of other areas in technology. So the traditional way that we got electrified is not going to be the way that that happens in Africa and other continents.
What about the international institutions like the World Bank and the International Agency or the International Energy Agency? Do they have any incentive to fund energy? Forget about electrification, but they need regular supply of some sort of energy to live.
Yeah, the United Nations has said access to energy is one of their top seven goals for developing countries. So it's access to electricity and reliable electricity. I mean, it goes so much farther than being able to just turn on lights. It's about safety. It's about displacing kerosene lanterns that are extremely harmful, dangerous. It's the equivalent of smoking 2 packs of cigarettes a day. Light allows children to study at night and improve their education. So it reaches so many areas. And yes, the World Health Organization, United Nations, everybody has said that this is one of the priorities. And there is a lot of money that has, over the last, say, decade, flowed into this industry. But most of it is going to trying to find renewable opportunities. So solar, clearly in Africa, when there is so much access to the sun, makes it no-brainer that that is better investment and a more sustainable, responsible investment than it would be put the money toward governments to try to do historical landlines.
Hydroelectric plants or...
Exactly.
So you're based in Canada. So what is your connection to Africa?
It all came from our founder. So our founder, Andy Keith, when he graduated university, was just at the time when Ontario, Canada was getting into solar. And he saw that that was going to be a big opportunity. And so he started a couple companies in the solar industry in Canada, developed those, sold those, did quite well. And then a few years later, he was in a conference in California and came across a company called MCOPA, and they were doing off-grid solar. They were really one of the pioneers of this industry, off-grid solar in Africa. And he spoke to them and said really something here. Now, he had done some volunteer work in Africa, and when he was there, really felt that what those countries needed was sustainable development and investment, not kind of periodic volunteer structures. So he saw what MCOPA was doing. With his experience, felt, hey, this is something I would like to get into. I think we could do it here. And so that was really the origins of Solar Panda. So looking at their model and saying, I think I could do this a little bit better. And that's how it started. So then he started building the company, and that's where we came from.
You're sort of going the reverse direction, right? Many of our guests that have come on Mindful Businesses, they are trying to change people from electric, you know, either hydroelectric plants or coal plant derived electricity to wind, to geothermal, to solar. And they're trying to wean people off the grid. You, to start off, are starting with like, okay, you don't need the grid. Let's set up a thing where you can get your own source of sustainable energy.
Our approach is we design, manufacture, and then sell solar home system. And so a home in Kenya could get, say it's our home kit, which is kind of our mid-sized system. You get a 20-watt solar panel that you put onto your roof. It connects to a control unit, and that's the battery pack. And then that plugs into 4 lights. You can charge a lantern from it, a flashlight, a radio. You could charge your phone from it, because despite the fact very few of these homes have electricity, almost everybody has a cell phone. It's amazing how they've bypassed the traditions we have in North America. So you can power all that.